Again, welcome. We watched stuff 125. I'm Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid on the other end. Almost, it's a rough start. It's cool. We're here. We did not take a week off, actually, so this is nice. Not a lot going on until 5 minutes ago when you sent me a bunch of stuff to read, so I appreciate that. And what do you want to start with? I guess we can do show prep now because, you know, we started. Do you want to start with the newest stuff or just finally stick to talking about Punisher?
I want to start with the newest stuff first.
Good? So we'll talk about Punisher
first of
next
all,
week, everybody.
No. First of all, what's happening, everybody? This is Shahid. I didn't get a chance to speak and get introduced because we kind of had a rough start thanks to the power technology. And right before we started, I was messing around on Twitter. And, like, I saw late, like, it's been rumored, basically, like, Quentin Tarantino was going to be the next director of Star Trek, which is kind of, like, surprising by itself. And then rumors come in, like, you know, it's more or less probably a done deal. Not only is he going to be the director, it's going to be an R-rated Star Trek because all his movies are R-rated. He believes in having freedom. And Paramount was like, cool. If you want an R-rated Star Trek, that's what you'll get. And now he's basically trying to find a writer. Like, I sent Jerry the link of the three front runners, and there was one in front, the guy that basically that wrote The Revenant. And it's an R-rated Star Trek is something I never thought I would see, would want to see, or even think about. Just the fact that Quentin Tarantino doing a Star Trek movie, just... I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it. Just saying those words. Quentin Tarantino is doing an R-rated Star Trek movie. Mm-hmm.
Well,
just say that out loud.
I mean, you know what the first joke is, right? Does this ship say?
it's so many jokes. We try to keep this a family PG-13 rated show because I won't say the stuff that I want to say, but you've seen Quentin Tarantino movies. You know the type of language he has. So when I first saw that, I just pictured Samuel Jackson just saying some words that should not be said in space.
Okay.
And just looking at that.
But even, like, all jokes aside, isn't, like, I think they said shit in the last one, or the last couple, whatever. So there is cursing in the Star Trek universe, at least the movies.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be totally out of place if you've got people dropping F-bombs left and right?
That I wasn't even thinking about that, although that did pop my mind. That wasn't the first thought popped my mind. It was more toward racial humor, to put it mildly.
And that's, well, that's another thing, too.
I mean, it's... Sci-fi is funny because, like, Aliens and Predator, they start off as R-rated franchises, and when they try to be PG-13 and PG, it just, like, took the venom out. It just didn't seem it fit. But Star Trek and Star Wars have always been, like, that PG-13 thing. There's never been this whole thing. Like, I've never heard anyone say, like, you know, R-rated Star Wars would be awesome because it's, like, you just never thought about that. That wasn't something that screamed R-rated. Star Trek's a little more adult. But it was never, maybe with the exception of Deep Space Nine, I never watched it. Like, you know what? The Raven's holding this back. Like, it's never popped in my head. Like, Quentin, I know a lot of people like Star Trek. They grew up on Star Trek. And I know Quentin Tarantino has talked about Star Trek. But he's always said he wanted to do 10 movies and then retire. That movie would be his 10th. That just seems kind of like, oh, I don't know. It just seems like, why? Like, that's the first thing that popped in my head. I didn't think, like, you know, not whether it'd be a good movie or not. Like, it'd definitely be an interesting movie. He knows what he's doing. He probably loves the material. The fact that you're going to have a big budget R-rated Star Trek movie just seems... I keep going, like, how? How and why did this happen? Because it just seems like somebody, like, I first saw the practical joke. To be perfectly honest, like, it's on clickbait. Like, you know, if, like, he was ha-ha drinking a scotch and say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Not the fact that, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do it my way. And, we, you know, I'm going to pick, like, great writers to write this. And we're going to work on it. We're going to work. Like, make it, after we do this Charles Manson movie, this will be my next movie.
Just that sentence alone. is ridiculous. But when you told, I think, what you told me Monday, you sent it over, like, just like, hey, rumors. I was like, eh, okay, whatever. Just rumor. Like, yeah, well, he shot his mouth off. He wanted to direct a Star Wars movie, too. Or he had idea. Was it Star Wars? Or was it a Marvel movie? There was something. There was, like, rumors or, like, whatever, gossip about him wanting to dip his hands into, like, a superhero movie. And it was like, haha, good. Go along, Quentin. Go do your blow and whatever else you do. And, you know, just keep in your wheelhouse. We'll keep in ours. And now this is actually coming to fruition. I pulled up the box office for the Star Trek movies, and the last one did significantly less than Star Trek Into Darkness.
Which was hilarious because it was the best one.
Yeah, and it did significantly less than the new Star Trek, whatever. Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of the Star Trek Beyond. I think they mismarketed that. I mean, hell, even Simon Pegg said, this isn't marketed the way the movie actually is. But too late. So, but yeah, I can see a style clash. I mean, do people really want, all right, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, so maybe I'm speaking out of my ass on this one, but do people really want a movie of Star Trek where they're sitting around just cutting dialogue left and right?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. It's kind of like, the answer would be yes, because it reminds them of TV shows. The biggest complaints about J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movies is, like, not that they weren't bad movies, just old-school Star Trek fans didn't like them because they didn't feel like old-school Star Trek. They felt like action movies that had Star Trek people in there. It's always been this whole divide with Star, like, Star Wars has been, like, action-based and Dallas was second. Star Trek was always dialogue first and action second. And it's easier to do that with a show because you have time to let stuff breathe and a budget kind of demands where, like, you can do action, it just can't be nonstop action. You don't have the money for it.
Yeah.
But in a movie, you don't really want to see a whole bunch of talking, even though, like, the Star Trek movies always find that balance, like, you know, have the dialogue, have the story, have the ethos of what makes Star Trek Star Trek, but you want to have enough action so people won't be bored for, like, 2 hours. So it's always been that balance. Quentin Tarantino having a gift of dialogue would kind of definitely be a benefit because Star Trek fans love to hear them just talk and, you know, eulogize about the ethics of space and what you can do, what you can't do, what makes you a human. With, you know, like, there's always been that balance as far as, like, Star Trek. The laser beam stuff has always been kind of secondary. So that I could see. It's the other stuff. It's just the fact is, like, Star Trek, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
They, you know, Quentin Tarantino, like, it's funny. Seth MacFarlane is a big fan of Star Trek himself. And the Orville is basically kind of like, you know, Star Trek with a little more humor. Like, I've read enough about it to see, like, you know, it feels like a Star Trek show. But it's like his, because he basically kind of plays it straight. But it's like, Quentin Tarantino is Quentin Tarantino. Like, he has his own style. It's kind of like a patchy style. It's definitely more adult. Mm-hmm. It's not a juvenile thing. And it's different levels to adult. And it just seems like, it just seems disconcerting. You know, it just seems weird. Not the fact that you think it'd be a bad movie, just the fact that you would think of people direct Star Trek, you would never think him. I would more think him, like, people talk about him doing superhero. I'm like, Kill Bill is basically a superhero movie.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah.
I mean, more or less so. And I've always joked saying, I would love to see what he would do with a Fast and Furious movie. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody would direct it, like, you know, he could probably direct the hell out if he wanted to, if they ever, like, let him. But they're probably, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's just weird. Like, I'm definitely curious. I'm definitely interested. But I can see it, like, turning off people just to the fact, like,
sure.
It's like, you know, Star Trek's always been like this whole, you sip your tea, you put your slippers on, and it's like the intellectual sci-fi show. And then you got, you know, Chop House Quentin Tarantino with F-bombs and N-words just throwing it all out here. Like, I made the joke to Cam, like, yeah, you know, you really want to see your horror get called the N-word in space?
Like, well, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, in Star Trek, that's the point. You wouldn't think that. And that's where I was going earlier, because I forget. Star Trek took place after there was actually a nuclear war, right? Or like a nuclear bomb, and that brought brought civilization together, and that's why everyone's in harmony now.
Basically, it was like World War III happened. It was a nuclear war, and then the Vulcans came and discovered them. And it's like, oh, it's life beyond us. Let's cut out all this fighting stuff and just, you know, unite. So it was basically like, you know, we had to see something else. Like the same thing, like a lot of like Independence Day, the same, like, we got to find, it's something beyond us out here. So what are we doing messing around here? Let's cut this out and this whole utopia thing. Like this whole, and it's funny where originally Star Trek, like the utopia thing, putting away selfish desires and monetary issues and stuff to a unified goal to, you know, see what else is out there. See what life is out there. See what universes and civilizations out there and explore and interact and grow. And as it's gotten older, it's like kind of like it's changed because it went like, you know, well, they went out there, but they wouldn't necessarily like just be all, maybe they weren't 100% peaceful when they went out. Because like later Star Wars, like, you know, they was out conquering and there's at first. Or they were doing like underhanded schemes at first because people still people. You just, you know, having a spaceship doesn't make you necessarily noble, and they kind of dig toward that. And as more shows have come, it's kind of like been more nuanced. So that I could see. And I haven't seen a new Star Trek Discovery show because it's on CBS All Access. I'm not paying for no streaming service for no one show. So when it comes up on Netflix when the season's over, I'll catch it there. I don't want to like bootleg it. But it's, we've talked about it before, it gets to the point where I'm not going to jump through hoops for a show. I don't care how good the show is. If I have to get one thing just for one show, no. No thanks. So I can't really speak on it. Like, I've heard a thing about the show. I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak too much on it. But, yeah, like, this probably wouldn't be out anyway till, what, 2020? You know?
He makes movies fast. That's what well, except Kill Bill, but that's why you never hear about his movies. Yeah. And they just come out.
But it's not the fact, but it's like he still, he got to do the Charles Manson movie first. Like, he had, like, you know, they still talking about casting. Like, they haven't even started filming that one. And it's kind of like, they talking about casting, like, you know, he's talking about Brad, basically two or three of Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Tom Cruise to be in this movie. Like, this, he's still working on this Charles Manson movie. So, you know, when he finishes that and gets that in the pipeline, then he can move on to the next one. Then this kind of like, you know, and I'm assuming you use the, you know, the cast that you have. And wouldn't that be just a tonal change? Like, you know, you went from J.J. Abrams to Justin Lin to Quentin Tarantino. And, like, imagine you watch Star Trek. The last one you remember was, like, Star Trek Beyond. They blasted the Beastie Boys. And this is a fun action movie. And then it's the 10th Quentin Tarantino movie. It's Star Trek.
Yeah, like, that's how it starts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, all his movies start with the number, whatever number movie by Quentin Tarantino. That would, yeah, that would definitely be a strange sight, but
never do a moment in movies, I guess. So.
No, and but it's also a time right now that I think a lot of studios are going to start taking, they're going to start taking risks. I think risk is probably the total wrong word, but chance, maybe chance is the better one, because after Fox did Deadpool, and Marvel did Guardians of the Galaxy, that opened up like other movie studios to try something different, especially with Fox doing New Mutants now and making it a horror movie instead of, you know, just another teen movie running around doing whatever. And then, you know, we got Deadpool 2. I mean, hell, even Marvel. I mean, don't forget, they made an Ant-Man movie. A character that you go, Ant-Man? Yeah. So,
well, they say beggars can't be choosers.
True, but there were other Marvel characters they could have done, you know? And like, they chose that instead.
And, you know, my question would be like, who?
Well, they could have done Captain Marvel first. If they, I mean, if you want to take a, like, honestly, if you want to take a big chance and put a female-driven movie before Ant-Man, that would have been a pretty big risk, to be honest.
Yeah. Or I'm not saying, like, it's my whole, like, it's seeing how it plays out now, it kind of had the idea, like, they were kind of, part of it, like, what's the best way to put it for Marvel? I think it's a thing like at the time, it's certain things they couldn't do, or it was pushed, like, you know, they said get a female character. They didn't want females in the movie. Like,
yeah.
Keep in mind, this was before, you know, Kevin Feige was running the things, and you had one guy saying, you know, girls don't watch these movies, guys don't buy, you know, women doll characters, so get these bras out of here. Like, Marvel, and it's funny thinking about it, like, you know, somebody made a big point. Marvel's kind of like real, it's changed now. It was like real asexual, like real bland, like as far as like the cast. Like every, like nobody had sex and everybody was a white dude named Chris. So basically up until recently, like, you know,
really it was different that, actually.
It was a different type of movie, but it was like, it's the same, you know, you crack your jokes, you say, you know, it's a laser beam in the sky, you fight some Oscar-nominated, Oscar-winning villain, and Watchmen's repeat. Like, now you can do more stuff, because it's kind of like, you have freedom to do more stuff. Fox is kind of like, you know, they did more stuff because Deadpool made money. And that helped. I think with this, like, you know, the wrap up with Star Trek, the fact that the third one didn't make that much money is kind of like they don't feel like they don't have anything to lose. Like, if it don't work, it don't work. It's not like it's Star Wars.
Right.
Like, you know, you got a $1 billion movie, and like, oh yeah, we're going to have the next one, even if like a spinoff, you know, Boba Fett R-rated. Like, nah. Star Wars ain't putting out, like, Disney's not putting out an R-rated Star Wars movie.
No,
oh, it's Star Trek. Yeah, Star Trek is kind of like, you know, it's never been as big as biggest stakes. Like, it was a TV show that became movies, and it started off as movies. So it's never like this whole, we got this big budget franchise. Like, it's medium size. Like, you know, they made money, but it's not like you make money. It's not like, it's not a James Bond, a Fast and Furious, or even like a Pirates of the Caribbean, Transformers. And so they have more freedom to kind of like experiment if they want to experiment. And trust me, Quentin Tarantino and Star Trek will get people talking. People who are not necessarily like Star Trek fans are like, oh, I go, you know, I may not like Star Trek, I like Quentin Tarantino, I'll go see it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and conversely, though, there's going to be that crowd that goes, I like Star Trek, but I don't like this Quentin Tarantino guy. So
they'll go anywhere.
That's the, well, no, some people definitely won't.
It's a few, but it's like a small number. Like, it's some people that's kind of like, you know, Quentin Tarantino, like, rubbed them the wrong way, or like, they're just tired of that. And there's plenty of reasons to have that. People feel strong enough to, especially with the wine scene stuff, it's like, people may feel strong enough to say, like, nah, I've had enough. But I don't think it's like a big number to make a difference. I think it's more, you have Quentin Tarantino fans, and then you have Star Trek fans. It might be Star Trek fans who might, you know, be like, this ain't my mama Star Trek. This ain't my granddaddy Star Trek. But it's like, a lot of nerds talk tough. Like, they say what they are going to do, what they're not going to see. And when push comes to shove, they'll be there opening night. They may complain about it, but they'll still be there.
Real quick, I mean, we'll move on to the next one. Since you mentioned him, boy, Harvey Weinstein sure has been pushed out of the headlines. Probably the most egregious person outside of, oh, the name just lost me. Who was the director guy?
Which one?
James, is it James Toback? Was he the
naughty guy? I thought you were going to mention Bryan Singer.
No, well.
Or Senator, like.
Okay, no, all right. So the breadth of what they did, Weinstein is the top of the hill. And then you had James, I think it's James Toback, who, oof, he wasn't very good, but no one really talked about him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Dirty Matt Lauer rolls up and just like, ah, wait a minute, we don't really know Harvey Weinstein too well, but Matt Lauer was on TV all the time, so we'll make the bigger deal about him. No, let's roll back. Let's not forget the guy that started all this. The guy that started all this. He was the first major one to go, and he's the worst. This is the guy that hired former Israeli intelligence people to try and bury everything and, like, basically strong-arm victims and whatever else. Oof, Matt Lauer just sent dildos to people. I guess he sexually assaulted somebody too, but
yes, you know the sad thing about it is so many people that are just coming out that you tend to forget. Like, it's been, you know, beside the fact that, you know, Al Franken resigned and John Conyers resigned, it's two other like politicians that just got knocked you still got, you know, more running around doing that. Each day you got, you know, movies like Russell Simmons had to step down from his stuff. Like, you names just slide down like you forget.
I got to correct down one thing, though. Conyers did not resign. He retired.
Okay.
That's what a lot of, like, in the Michigan press, they're pissed. I mean, because retiring, he still keeps whatever into this. But resigning, he would lose whatever benefits coming his way.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. He's old enough where it's kind of like, you know, yeah, I'm going to jump out this window before you push me out, but I'm going to have my parachute.
Yeah.
So,
he's telling people to vote for his kid. Now,
and his kid is voting for domestic violence.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Christ.
It's kind of like, no, they, like, every... We made comments about it. We joked there like that. But it says a lot that every damn day is somebody new. Like, every... It is not an exaggeration when we say every day. Like, it's at least one. It's coming, like, if it's from the movie field, the TV field. If something came, like, a woman, you know, woman's the first call. I forgot who it was. Like, some pop singer or something like that. She assaulted another woman. And her whole thing is kind of like, well, she didn't say... Oh, she didn't say no that much. Not, I didn't do it. Why didn't they complain about it? Like, it's everything.
Wait, her excuse was she didn't say no that much?
Yes, that was her.
That sounds like a guy excuse. Wow.
Yeah,
so, people really are dumb.
They're dirtbags. This whole, I've heard anyone say, I haven't done it. They've even said... it didn't happen the way they described it, or I thought it was cool, or I don't remember. I was reading Al Frank or something. He just shut up. Just go out. No, it's kind of like, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't remember some of the stuff I did, but it's a shame that I have to leave. And what about the other? What about the president? What about such and such? No, what about you? Don't talk about, you know, how come mommy ain't mad at my brother because he jumped out the window too? You're a grown-ass man. And you doing like, no, take the L and go out. Stop talking about what the other, like, no one wants to hear it. Like, there's enough people complaining about that. Nobody wants to hear that from you.
Well, especially like, in Franken's case, he's always been a smug motherfucker. So we have two F-words per PG-13 show. So there's one. So seeing him do stuff like that and seeing him fall has been really gratifying. And... It's the pompousness of all these people too, it's just like the anti-gay Republican, always getting caught having sex with a guy, always.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and it's always like happens. You better shut up. That's why, like, I have a good relationship with my wife. I'm not gonna brag about it. I'm not gonna be like pompous. But well, you should follow us. Like, every time someone does that, it's over. That's like the final straw. As soon as somebody says something like that, I've always believed that's just a cover. And when you see these people who are so vehemently against something, or for something, or railing against, you know, whatever cause they may have, it's like there's something there, and it always blows up on them. And I take great satisfaction in that. So, anyways, got off on the wrong subject. So, DC Comics. But never forget Harvey Weinstein's still a major piece of shit. So, link you sent me, and it's interesting. Variety has an article that I just clicked off of because I'm stupid with a computer. DC Comics is, by beginning next year, reshuffling basically Warner Brothers is going to reshuffle the DC Entertainment division. And what was his name? John Berg is going to be out as the film production. I think he's the executive in charge of film production. Is that it? I think so. Anyways, he's gone. He's going to be a producer for something else. Jeff Johns is basically being phased out. He may just be a consultant. Zack Snyder will not be directing any more movies. And they're actually going to start the process, possibly, of recasting some of the characters.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Hey, It, well, the benefit with DC is like they have history as far as recasting characters because like we've had multiple Superman and multiple Batman. So it's not like it's the first time. Yeah, that's what happens when someone made a good point. I think the Avengers, like the Avengers made more domestically in this first weekend than Justice League has made domestically since it's been out.
Yeah, after 3 weeks of release, this is from the Variety article. Justice League has managed 570 million worldwide. That's not a bad total, but if they're going to do
That's
this,
Ant-Man money.
yeah, exactly. And Avengers in that same time, the first one, 1.5 billion worldwide.
It's
That's
kind of like
triple.
you spent $300 million and you may make what Logan makes.
Yeah.
And Logan didn't make Logan was an R-rated movie that didn't cost $100 million. Now, like that's bad. Like, yeah, that's not good. That math does not work at all. And it's kind of like you cannot do math. Like you, when you do numbers like that, people will ask questions, and they're gonna ask harsh questions. And what's your answer? We ain't get time. We need another. Like nobody trying to hear that. You cannot be like, especially when you see what the other side is doing, and they're like, we got what we got. How come we not even close? I can see if it's like, we don't do $1.5 billion, we do $900 million. But you do a man, like you spend double the money, you do a Man of Steel numbers. Like Wonder Woman trounces, like, yeah, all those people that's in charge of that, like, yeah, this happened on your watch, beat it. They doing what they should have did from Jump Street. Their biggest mistake was putting it in Zack Snyder's hands in the first place. Like, whoever made that, I know they said people, it may not be the first choice. It was a committee. They decided on him. Whoever made that choice, that you started off bad. That was the first mistake, was starting there, and they never fixed it. They never fixed it. Man, it's kind of like, they doubled down on the wrong thing. And it says a lot. Wonder Woman's basically unscathed. Like, no one's complaining. Like, no one can complain about her. Like, I like Wonder Woman because it wasn't like that other crap. And I can't wait to see Wonder Woman 2. I don't give a damn about the rest of it. So that's a funny. That's like basically like, if Marvel Universe, it was like everyone liked Iron Man, they didn't like anything else.
Wouldn't it be, well, I guess in this case, would it be if they liked, because remember, Superman was first, then you had Batman, Superman, then you had Wonder Woman, so it'd almost be like everyone loved Captain, was Captain America was third, right? It was Thor third. It'd be
Well,
like
Captain
whatever the
America
third
was third.
movie was.
Well, Captain America, if you count Hulk, Captain America is fourth.
No, that's true. That's
So,
true. I forgot about Hulk.
yeah. But it's kind of like, yeah, it's just those, that you got to change that. And at least you get to the point where it's like, we keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's not working. Let's just fix it. Not put a band-aid over. Like, if you got to start from scratch, damn it, start from scratch. No one will care about the whole, like, they aren't tied down. Like, if you change, like, okay, Ben Affleck was great as Batman, but if this someone, like, I heard the rumor saying they want John Hamm to be Batman, you think people will complain about that?
Aren't they supposed? Don't they want a younger Batman though? Because Jon Hamm's not a young dude either.
Man, okay, who's
No,
on?
I'm
Jake
saying. No, I'm
Gyllenhaal?
saying
Yeah,
the
I know.
studio
Yeah,
wanted a younger one.
I've heard like, yeah, but it's kind of like it takes great. Like it's hard doing Batman,
Oh yeah.
and it's kind of like if you're gonna do it, like I've heard cause they said they want to do a young one. It'd be Jake Gyllenhaal. He's a great actor. I've not seen him as
No,
Batman.
not at all.
Like, you can be sketchy. He's way too sketchy. Like, he's more toward the joke spectrum than, like, the Batman spectrum. So it's kind of like, you will say you want somebody, like, younger just to match up with the age of other thing, but it's kind of like, just make it work. Because Michael Keaton wasn't necessarily young when he first did Batman.
Yeah.
People tend to forget all that. Not like he was in his 20s. He's probably, what, mid-late 30s? If not 40s, but like when that came out.
Oh, that I have no idea, but the Michael
So,
Keaton thing was controversial anyways.
and I remember that, and people complained about it, so it worked. It's like people will complain about whoever you cast
Yeah.
if you're not the person they want until it works. And then once it works, no one's gonna give a damn. So just learn what you learned from Wonder Woman. Make a good movie. That's it.
Makes it sound so easy.
I know it's easier said than done. Yeah. Hope for the best, because it's no guarantee if you make a good movie. People, like, we talk about Star Trek Beyond, you know, it helps. The hardest thing to do is you make a good movie after a bad one, because people will still remember the bad one.
Yep.
And they won't necessarily, like, you know, and you'll, the same, like, the people made a good point, like, how they played out. Matrix was this great movie. Everybody, when they saw it, they liked it. Matrix, you know, Matrix came out, more people saw that based off the Matrix. It's polarizing. Some people liked it, some people didn't. Still made a lot of money. But the third Matrix came out, people still remember the second one, and then you had all the bad reviews in the third one. It was like, the box office dropped like a rock, because it's kind of like, people will remember, even if you make a great movie, it's easier if you're not comparing to anything else. Like, Wonder Woman was a DC movie. It's just Wonder Woman. It's separate from anything else. So it's kind of like, I'll give, you know, it still has stuff to overcome, but I still give it a chance.
Well, I think when we talked about Wonder Woman, though, I think one of the strong points was they didn't change the character. It was the comics character. It was the TV character to a certain extent. So you've had that, and I think this is where, well, there's a lot of failings, all right? But I think for a lot of it, the main one was Superman, like, he wasn't like a cynical dick or anything. He's supposed to be like a beacon of hope and whatever else. But Zack Snyder, like you pointed out, that's just his disposition in movies. It didn't translate to Superman. And then they washed out and made it bland? I don't know. I don't think bland's the right word. But with everything washed out, like, the suit's a dull color. He was, like, pretty much emotionless. And it's like, eh, I don't want to see this. And then Batman comes along in Superman Batman. And I know how we feel about it, but he's out there just out killing people. I mean, mercilessly just destroying everything. And for a lot of people, that's not the character that, you know, a lot of people think they remember.
Yeah, you know, we both talked about it. You know, the same thing. Here's the biggest thing. Those two characters had history that everybody knew. Wonder Woman had a TV show and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, Wonder Woman's like the third biggest thing, but like, people know Wonder Woman, but they don't know Wonder Woman stories. They could name a Wonder Woman villain. They might know the song. They know Linda Carter. That's all they know about Wonder Woman. So you have way less baggage to deal with. That was the biggest thing, like, overcoming. People say, well, how come you have a Wonder Woman movie? Like, how come you haven't had one? And it's like, this is the first one. The only stories you really have to base it off is the comics and Justice League.
Yeah, and the comics aren't well read. She never has been a huge seller.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you have more freedom. Like, you have the idea, you know what Wonder Woman is, but you're not necessarily tied to this big ideal that everyone knows of.
Right.
You've had Superman movies since the 70s. You had Batman, you know, you had a Batman TV show in the 60s. Yes, like, you've had these...
Oh, yeah, like Batman stuff in the 30s.
Yeah, like, you've had these shows since back in the day. You've had TV shows, cartoons, and movies. So people have a general idea of what Batman looks like and what Superman looks like. And if it strays too differently, then people won't have a problem if it's not done well. Wonder Woman, you didn't have that, so you had the freedom to do that. Like, you could, Aquaman, same thing. Like, people joke about Aquaman, you know, why really tied to what Aquaman's supposed to be. Make a good movie with Jason Momoa with his shirt off. You do that, it'll work.
Well, you saw the first image they released from Aquaman, right? They released an official image from Aquaman. Guess what it looks like? Jason Momoa without a shirt on. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I mean, he looks the way he looks. It works. Like, this, whoever did that is not a dummy. Like, that's what you do. That's what you're gonna bring it. Because look.
Yeah, people, I know.
The fanboys are going to come in regardless. And, you know, women like Jason Momoa. Guys like Jason Momoa. So if you're going to do that, go ahead and do it. Just make a good movie. You know, get rid of the people that weren't allowing you to make the good movies and go ahead and make good ones. And stop trying to rush. It's like, you ever heat up lasagna in the microwave?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, you try to heat up for 2 minutes and think that's enough and the outside is fine and the inside's still cold. Yeah. That's basically what DC did. Like, yeah, we're going to microwave this DC universe. And, you know, Cam brought that up. Like, he used that thing. It's like, you know, you try to skip all the steps to reach the finish line without exercising, without prepping, and I'm just going to jump and run this marathon, and I'm going to ride on my motorcycle doing a marathon and think people won't respect me for it. Like, no, that's not how it works. So I hope you learned your lesson. Take it a step at a time. And you're not going to get fans back overnight. Just nicked out the window. But if you keep doing enough good movies, you'll get fans.
Okay. One thing that needs to be brought up, I forgot. In this article, it was said that although they consider, you know, Justice League to be subpar, obviously. Wonder Woman 2 is still going ahead. Aquaman comes out next year. From the sources, okay, Ben Affleck is supposedly in the Flash movie. So that's one thing. I'll get back to after this.
I'm reading the same thing you're reading.
Okay, so they said they effectively introduced the Flash in Justice League, and then they introduced Aquaman. I love the fact that they didn't even mention Cyborg. Good. And then the Flash, yeah, I liked his characterization more than I thought I would. And here's the thing. Like, we're talking about, like, recasting, changing, whatever else. And especially with Ben Affleck being in the Flash movie, they want to name it Flashpoint. So if there's a way that they want to reset everything or change things, that's the opportunity.
I'm thinking that's more related to, like, the Jeff. Like, people brought that whole thing up. Like, that's one reason why they're trying to bring, like, Fate on Jeff Johns. It's kind of like he's focusing on his stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all stuff he did, like, to the detriment of everything else. It's kind of like, that's, I was always kind of frowning my face when that was the first idea. Like, you didn't learn your lesson. The first thing is going to be, we're going to bring the Flash and we're going to start erase everything. It's kind of like, dude, oh, that's a way for Ben, you know, get rid of Ben Affleck. You just gonna get rid of him? Like, you know, I mean, it's a nice tool to use, but it's like, that'd be, like, you know, like if you had, you know, the Avengers first movie was Infinity War. Like, the first Avengers one was like, you know, this is how we're gonna start, we got our everybody back, so we're gonna have Thanos coming there to ruin the team. Yeah. Like, no, you build up to it. You don't jump in with that with these big ideas. Because once you do it, then what? It's easier to go, you know, small to big than go big and build back small when the big doesn't have any weight. Like, I'm sick of talking about DC. We keep talking about them every week, and most of the time it's because they did something stupid.
It's not positive. Let's move on to something positive with DC then. Sort of. Obviously, we're not going to be able to talk about Arrow, but all of them had their mid-season finales. I'm curious how you would rank the three. I already know who number one would be. If it's number one, then I'm just going to stop recording, and we'll get back to you next week.
I would say Legends 1, Supergirl 2, ooh, Flash 3.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll start with Flash if they're for a reason. I get, and we'll might as well jump to the end. I get why they're doing it, because if it's a story, like, you know, like the whole thing. So, like, the whole point of the whole thing, like, you know, the thinker's outthinking Barry.
Yeah.
At every step. Even when Barry thinks he had the upper hand, he's always a step behind. And it's funny in hindsight when you see, like, you know, he switched his body. It's kind of like, it makes sense, but I didn't even think about it until he did it. But then once he did, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, that makes perfect sense. His body's dying, and this guy has powers, and it fits into the storyline, even though it must be weird. And, of course, CW doesn't like, they like pretty people anyway, villain or hero. So you might have this pretty, like, you don't look at this ugly. Like, he was a brave thinker. They're not going to just have this guy look that way and just have him there for the whole season. If you got this square jaw, ethnically ambiguous guy that can even fit in too, because that's just how CW rolls. But at the end, when he's there with the body and the cops are there and he's thinking about running and he's like, don't run, I'm like, okay, they acknowledge how fast he is. He could have ran, hit the body somewhere, ran whatever, say he had an alibi, and no one would have known.
Yeah. I
And I know why they didn't do it, because it's kind of like, it's the story they're telling, and I get that. It's kind of like, you know, I don't want to be a fugitive. If I run, they may think I'm the Flash, and I'll always run, and I want Iris to have that life. I get that. Like, it's a problem where the story they're telling doesn't match what he's doing. And I know it's kind of like he's a noble guy. He doesn't want to take the easy way out. But he does selfish stuff like that before. So that's the thing. Is like, now he wants to be noble? Like, for what?
Yeah, I watched. I had the exact same thought. Like, couldn't you have taken off, cleaned up, and all that? And of course, you know, the thinker called the cops, because the obvious thing is, why would the cops automatically be there? Like, okay, but whatever, you let that go. You can already kind of see how the story is going to play out. The wife is not going to be happy that he's in another body. It's the old, I think it's either Creepshow or Creepshow 2 thing, where the guy keeps selling parts of himself to become younger looking for his wife.
I mean, that part I don't necessarily agree with, because she's kind of like, she's down for the team. And her whole, like, this piece came like, you know, you just think I'm just some angst woman, or I'm just blind, or like that. Like, we're a team, we're doing this together. And she, like...
Yeah, I did like that part, by the way.
And they acknowledge the fact that she's been there from day one, and she's been there trying to, like, build him to a better man, try to keep him alive. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm blind, what's going on. I'm down. It's kind of like, you know, the whole thing with, like, Vanessa and the King thing. Like, you know, whatever you need to do, I'm there 100%. And it's kind of like, you know, the body was dying. You couldn't save the body. She wants greatness for him. And it's like, I got this young, hot man here. You think she's going to play that much? It's like, you know, you had to deal with your husband waiting away in a wheelchair. And he can't even eat without help and stuff like that. And you know he is this great man trapped in his withering body. And then it's the same man. He just looks better. Like, yeah. A lot of wives would be like, you know what? I'm not going to complain that much. So, yeah. So,
off the writing on this show, I can definitely see that happen. Because, listen, the end of this was not strong. That's why I was surprised you had this number 3 instead of number 2, because Supergirl's writing was trash.
I had Supergirl's number 2 for like two specific reasons.
Okay.
So
let's do the positive part. What was all right? I actually enjoyed The Flash. I even excused the ending. Both Supergirl and Flash played very loose with a secret identity. So, like, inviting a stranger over the house, and then, like, I don't remember him knowing that this guy knows who they are, you know? They're showing, like, a box with Gypsy dancing, and he wasn't there for that. Never mind. Mm-hmm. But,
I mean, he knows all, like, DeVoe knows all of them. Like, he's been studying, like, he's been plotting and studying, and he let them know, like, I know everything about
you.
I know everything about your friends, like, you know.
I just meant, no, them inviting this guy over.
Yeah, that part's kind of like, hey, like, you know, we just saved him. He's, you know, it's kind of like, we just saved this guy. He probably don't have a family. Let's invite him over. And it's kind of like, they look at it as normal, because why would they think this guy would know anything about them? Like, he would know what Caitlin does. He don't know the rest of them. It's like, okay, it's these guys. Why would I think it's the Flash? Like, as far as they know, why would they think he would suspect they're anything besides what he sees? Even though you forget the fact that he's a telepath.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, beside that part where it's kind of like, oh, man, he might dig in and like, hey, Barry, what's going on? It's kind of, so, but it's often not because he's a villain, but it's like, if he wasn't a villain, then it's like, yeah, I could go sell some secrets if I wanted, because he could read their minds and thoughts, and they wouldn't be any the wiser. So it's like, we have a story to tell, and it's sometimes that happens with shows. It's kind of like the story causes problems, like getting there, because it's like, it doesn't make sense. But you don't know a better way of getting there. You just need to get there anyway. So it's like, the hell with it.
So on that note, what did you like about Supergirl? I think we're going to have the same thing, by the way.
The final fight is her getting her ass whooped.
Yeah.
Because it's funny. It's funny. That's a normal thing that happens in like the season finales. They run into the villain. And the first time they run into the villain, they just get their ass handed to them. But you don't see... you don't see that level of violence on Supergirl. You don't normally see like a woman just beating the hell out of another woman, and she was cleaning her damn clock. Like it was a one-sided fight for the most part, and the way they built it up, and she just hit a concrete rebar and is throwing and stuff, and even that stupid pep talk, you need to be, you know, bury your feelings.
You need to be alien.
Yeah. That didn't work, sis, because, you know, you brought a knife to a gunfight. It's crazy how it came. And you're thinking, like, okay, she's going to drop her. It's like, is John's going to come fly? Somebody come fly? Nope. She dropped like a damn rock. Like, she got the crap cleaned out. And I was wondering, like, you know, are they going to have a fight? Is the helmet going to get knocked off? She don't realize that's her friend. Because they've done a good job of building together, like having a friendship. Mm-hmm. Like, they all kind of know each other. So the fact that you know who she is, but Kara doesn't know, and Lena doesn't know who either of these one people really are, it's kind of like, that's always in the background. So the fight scene, I like. The way they build up Rain is kind of like, you know, the Punisher version of Supergirl. Like, I'm going to do what you should have done. All this half-ass metric crap don't work. It's kind of like, she's not just some one-note villain. It's kind of like, you know, she's an alien. She didn't even know she was an alien. Like, she kind of found she was an alien by accident. She still has this daughter and this connection to the world. She has her friends, but she has this purpose. Kind of like, you know, you're here to wreck shop. You go wreck shop. And she doesn't even realize she's doing it. It's kind of like, you know, when I'm not sleeping, you know, why am I tired? Like, time, like, it's not like, you know, I'm on off switch and I'm doing this. It's like, when I'm doing it, I don't even know I'm doing it. So that part I like. The other stuff was kind of like, I was just more indifferent to it more than anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said all that stuff because it plays right into the horrible writing. Lena doesn't know that she's Supergirl. This new chick doesn't know she's Supergirl. She doesn't know that Kara works at the DEO or whatever. Alex does. So is Alex just bringing her boss to this party and bringing his goofy-ass dad that doesn't understand what coffee is? And then on top of that, they're having a Christmas party, right? With Lena, who thinks Mon-El is dead. And on top of that, idiot Supergirl invites Mon-El to a party that Lena is going to be at. Luckily, he says no. So how would they would have explained that? And I'm sitting there, and then John. I'll just go with John. John goes over to her and goes, "Hey, we got to go." Her, Alex, and John all leave the party. And I'm going, how did they explain all this?
I mean, they're coworkers. That's how you explain it. It's like
Kara is not a coworker of Alex and John.
No,
she supposedly works at the paper.
But keep in mind this. You think Lena Luthor is going to be that surprised by people acting kind of suspicious? Like, let's remember who she is from Jump Street. It's kind of like, these aren't like normal people, like, you know, oh, I work at accounting, I work at, you know, finance, like that. Like, these are people that live weird lives and weird situations anyway. Like, you know, Sam is trying to affect that, oh, yeah, I'm bulletproof.
But no one knows that.
The whole thing is kind of like, when you have weird secrets and stuff like that, and you live a certain type of life, certain things you're not gonna be a surprise other people are doing that. Can you even say anything like, you know, liars expect other people to lie. And like, think of the universe they're living in. It's a universe full of aliens and all of this other weirdo stuff. So it's like, oh, we mean dead Mike, okay. I was leaving the dead at night. Last time I checked, I drove in the, like, you know, Sam, is Sam going to worry about the three of them leaving? She was driving the damn desert following a rock of the GPS like 2 days ago.
It still doesn't explain why Kara would leave. It doesn't make any sense.
All they had to do was say,
hey, I have to go, you know, I'm going to cover the story or something. But they don't because they're bad writers.
Maybe they'll explain
the ending to me, which is okay. But her getting her ass handed to her like that, like, why is she bleeding all of a sudden? All they're doing is just punching each other. She's been in fist fights with other people before. And like I said, that one I'll let go because they can still explain it. This is supposed to be Doomsday, by the way.
She's gotten hurt by Kryptonians before. And they were just punching it. But, like, yeah. It'd be different if somebody, like, hitting, like a Superman hit it with a damn pipe compared to like a regular dude hitting it with a pipe. Like, yeah, she's tough. It's still somebody as powerful as you hitting you with something as heavy as that. So that part didn't bother me. Like, you know, like if we're like like, you know, adamantium scratching adamantium. It's like, yes, the toughest thing in the world. Like, it's the toughest substance you got till it hits the same damn substance. Like, it's going to scratch each other. Like, no, that part didn't bother me that much because it's like, you're looking at it from a whole, this doesn't seem like what normal people do. Ain't not normal. This
is. But they don't know she's not normal, though. That's the whole point.
You didn't let me finish. They may not know that she's not normal, but they know they aren't normal. So they're not focusing. They're all distracted on their own stuff. It's not like, oh, you know, I got a dick in or anything like that. It's like, you know, my mind ain't getting this came from. Because keep in mind where they're coming from. Last time we saw them, they came from a different dimension to a way of fighting Nazis. Like that happened. It wasn't, you know, that recently happened. So they deal with all that. Like last time we saw Kara, she was fighting an evil version of herself. And she's still dealing with this Monel stuff. It's like, oh yeah, my boyfriend went a zillion years in the future, got married. And now I gotta see that too. So her mind not necessarily in the game.
Okay.
You know, John, that's hold up. And John just had, I just found daddy after thinking he was dead for all this time. And I just had stuff. So yeah, all these people that are on these parties, they all kind of like, we not firing all gears. So that part didn't bother me. But then again, you look for that. You know there's certain stuff that kind of, it didn't cross my mind. So.
One other thing that we both saw coming, which is just out of the blue, is the whole Jimmy Olsen, Lena Luthor thing. So they're going down wherever they're going. A guy shoots a laser at Jimmy Olsen. Boom, he puts the Guardian shield up. And the guy's on the ground. And she's not questioning, like, wait, what just happened?
Save my life. I'm sure she'll have questions. Why, like, where do you get this shield from?
That would be but nice. Like, the first one, yeah.
First, no, my first thing is, thank you for saving me. I'll ask this question later. See, you are angry. So I save your life, and your first thing is like, how did you do that? Like, not thank you for saving my life, or how did you pull off saving my life? Yeah, I like, you know what, next time.
It still needs to be asked. So, regardless of when.
No, even when Batman saved Vicki Vale, she didn't start asking about the whole Bat stuff until they were like in the Batcave. First, like, thank you for rescuing me, Batman, like, you know. Because it's like, yeah, I've got my life saved. I'll worry about this weird stuff later. And your first thing is like, no, I need to know details about who I'm with before we even go anywhere. So.
Yeah, I'm like an 80s heroine. When someone tries to help out, you just babble the whole time.
You're Lois Lane.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. You. Like, don't worry, ma'am, I've got you. You've got me. Who's got you? So. But let's go to Legends. Again, I'm honestly thinking this show is fantastic now. That whole episode was ridiculous. Eric the Red is worshiping, and the Vikings are worshiping what is basically a Furby doll.
Yeah.
And it worked. Because there was one scene that I'm sitting there watching this thing going, this is really stupid. Like, I'm having fun watching it, mind you. But then when they went to go burn Mick Rory, and they bring, what was it, Bebo?
Yeah, Bebo. Which,
yeah, right, they couldn't have given it a dumber name either. They bring Bebo by, and Mick just looks at it when he walks by and is like, ugh, just like, are you serious? Which is kind of like, I'm sure, what some of the audience was doing too, but it immediately like gave it validation, like, yeah, this is silly as hell, so just go with it. And I laughed, like, I was watching it at work. I laughed out loud when he did that, because it was just perfect. So, I just really liked this episode, and what surprised me, Jax is gone, and apparently he's done with the show.
Yeah, no longer a regular.
Wow, I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think it was the fact that you realize Firestorms messes up the dynamic where you had to find excuses not for them not to be together. Because, like, they're together. Well, how would they lose against the people they fight most of the time? Mm-hmm. Like, this whole fight, Arrow is kind of like, you know, if the Flash is on Team Arrow, you wouldn't need Arrow. Because, like, Arrow's not fighting anybody that Flash can't handle. So the same thing like Firestorm, like, you know, you got people with a cold gun, a heat gun, you know, like, even with, like, the Atom, like, he's Iron Man, but, like, it's still just a suit that has limits. And then it's this guy, like, you know, I'm basically, I can throw fireballs and transmute stuff. Yeah, I think they can handle Nazis. And then the fact that they, like, you know, once Stein's gone, and it's like Jax doesn't have his power, and you got, what's his face, Snart back, is like, yeah, you got a whole lot of bodies. What, are you going to be, the mechanic? Like, he doesn't have powers, and if they're not going to, like, add another person to be Firestorm again, then what is he going to do?
And that's why I wonder if they're saving that, if they're taking, I'm hoping this isn't the decision, because, you know, he's leaving, he left anyways, but I'm wondering if they're going to use Firestorm for the movies now, and that's why they were like, hey, like, you know, time to kiss off that character, which I hope not.
I think it was more like Victor got a job. So, yeah, he's going to be working somewhere else. We can't use the character, we can't use this main character anymore. We already added the people want to add, so we can't, and we don't got anything to do with him. Like, because what would he do?
He was the guy that was responsible. I mean, in all seriousness, he was like Scotty on the Enterprise. He was the guy that was responsible for keeping the ship running. But it's like, do you want to relegate him to that? Because he's out there fighting with a sword, and he just looks stupid. Like, this isn't really working. So. I was just surprised, man. Like, I thought, he walks off, and then they announce he is done. Like, wait, what? And then knowing that, like, Citizen Cold's only on for a few episodes, and then Constantine apparently is only on one episode.
Yeah.
So that's...
the fact. It's funny. Like, that whole episode was kind of funny and pointy, because the whole thing is like, you know, it's Vikings, like, America turns into Valhalla, because... Young Stein had a baby, a Furby doll that they worshipped. Yeah. So you see all that nonsense going on. And the thing about Legends, they do silly stuff, they just play it completely straight. They're like, it is what it is. People kind of, it's like the story's kind of like secondary to what's going on. And like everything else is like, you know, this is, it's the people that's spewing the story. So you see the interaction with people. Like I got a chuckle out of when Jax playing Zoro in Mortal Kombat 2, Jax using Jax in Mortal Kombat 2 got a joke out of me, because it's kind of like something small. I got that because I'm watching them playing Mortal Kombat, and I know which one they're playing, I know which one he's using. And I'm like, knowing the fact that out of all the games you pick Mortal Kombat 2, and then the fact that he's using the guy that, you know, he had the same name. Like, they do little stuff like that. Yeah. You know, the fact that you see Gil McDonough dressed up like Odin. With that ridiculous wig, just hamming it up. He's probably like, you know what? When he acts, he just has fun whatever he's doing. And he's there. He never feels like, you know, I'm just here to get a paycheck. Like, no, I'm going to get this check. Like, you want me to put on a stupid wig? Make sure it fit. Like, he's just there. Like, he wasn't really even an important part of the story, but just him and his daughter just like, chewing up scenery like it had hot sauce all over it. It was just hilarious. And the fact that they kind of playing off like, you know, what's the plan? Well, you know, if we do this, he's going to say this. And, you know, of course, Sarah Dunn, like, you all leave, I'm going to handle myself. And they're like, yeah, you know how that's going to end. You're going to run in there, you're going to get your neck broke. Like, what you doing?
Yeah, and you know what? That, I guess I was so wrapped up in the episode, they got me with that one. When she walked in, she's like, blah, 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 and then cracks her neck. I was like, whoa, wait a second. And then they went back to the ship. I was like, oh, that's a you idiot.
Yeah.
But the way, like, that show goes, I mean...
They're not knocking off the leader.
True.
That's like, it's people they can see knocking off. It's kind of like, I'm thinking she's probably the only one that's probably kind of like, they're not knocking her off. Like, everybody else is kind of like, fair game. But no, it's kind of like, you know, you see they finally meet the villain for the first time. You see her working with like the Time Bureau, like they're on the same team, and then it ends with like Jax leaving. Yeah, like you see, I noticed that too.
Yeah,
and you see that like Jax leaving, and then Constantine pops up. you know, and it's kind of like now they have a team where, I mean, it's like a more balanced team, and it goes to the second half of like the season, and it's kind of like, I'm looking forward to see how, like, Legends is just fun, and they know they're fun, they know it works, and they just embrace it and go all in. So it's a long ass gap. I think, when's it come back, like February?
And mid-January? Yeah, they're February, but Flash and Arrow come back in January.
Yeah, because I know Black Lightning starts mid-January. So, I'm definitely, like I say, it's funny that show ended up being the best show out of the out of the four, considering like how rough it was. And it's kind of like you got these characters you don't really care about doing this goofy stuff. And now it's like, I look forward to watching Legends. Like, it's just hilarious, and it's the show that can evoke the most emotion. You would never guess that show would be Legends of Tomorrow. And, like, it's weird, like, to wrap it up, the way, like, you've seen Captain Cold in all these different forms. So when he first started, he was like this, this cold-blooded villain that had a sense of honor, but didn't mind, like, turn on you and being stupid and even warning you, like, this is what I'm going to do, what's wrong with you? And then you see him kind of be a hero on Legends and see how it affects him and Mick. And now you see him, like, being this, like, super nice. I like him with the damn doll. I'm just watching, I'm watching Wentworth Miller with a puppet on his hand talking. And I'm just, like, I'm a grown man watching this. And I'm just sitting here, like, I'm just sitting here, like, it's not even bothering me. I'm like, wow, I'm actually watching this. Like, this is what I'm doing with my life right now. And I'm like, oh, I'm a grown man that plays taxes. And it's kind of like just another day. Like, it didn't feel out of the ordinary. And that's all you need to know about that show.
Yeah, and everything fit. And even, like, the interplay between him and Mick, and just knowing that's going to come to a head. Like, they kind of, like, did the little thing with the beer toast, whatever. But you know that's going to come to a head. Because he's going to have to go back. So he said he's going to go back.
Yeah.
But I thought when, like, last point, because we got to get to the Punisher. We've been promising for 2 weeks. Because we're not getting to it next week, that's for sure. I thought when Firestorm went away, they were going to keep the Ray around, figuring all the budget's going to go to the Ray special effects. So, I mean, I guess the CW Seed show is tomorrow, actually, for the Ray. So, we'll see how that goes, but maybe there's a swap once Captain Cold goes away, or Citizen Cold, whatever they're calling him right now, that'll change then. So, all right, so I know it's a few weeks since this has come out. Finally got to get to it. We didn't really even talk about how we thought about the show. How did you like The Punisher? Because I know you had trepidation when it was first when we first saw some of the stuff about it.
Yeah. Do you hear me well?
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny where I had very much trepidation before the show started. And I was watching the show, and I was just amazed at how much I enjoyed the show. Like, it was extremely well done. Like, I liked it a lot. And I was surprised, because I think it's the first Marvel show they did where if you didn't know you didn't know anything about The Punisher, you wouldn't have known it was a Marvel show. It just felt like a show that just happened to be a comic show. Like, it felt like a grown-up. It's weird saying that, like, you know, the other stuff, they dealt with adult things and definitely, like, adult violence stuff. It felt different. It felt like a more nuanced. It's like, it's funny, Punisher and Nuance will go hand in hand. Yeah. And they definitely went hand in hand in a lot of stuff, but it's kind of like, it built up stuff. It really delved into, like, PTSD and how it affects people different ways. And I like how they show that, like, it just shows the effects of kind of like what war and violence does to people. And it wasn't like this whole throwaway line. It built up the characters. And the thing I liked about it most was the relationship between the different men. Like, the stuff with Punisher and Microchip, you never see stuff like that. Like, they were together, but they weren't friends. They weren't friendly. They didn't trust each other. It was kind of like, you know, and it wasn't a whole, like, 18 thing at the end of the day. Like, it took to the very end to them even, like, kind of like, you know, we cool. Like, but all of them, I just kind of, like, antagonistic. I'm just using you, you using me, we want the same thing, we go in completely different ways, I might betray you, you might betray me. It's like this whole, and then seeing where it's kind of like, he's, you know, he can't see his family, Frank's there with the family, and it's kind of like, you know, you see all of that, and you know, the wife's feeling a certain way, and he basically got to play daddy, but he's not going to be taken advantage of because, like, you know, I'm never going to find another woman. I don't want your woman. I'm just here trying to do my thing. And like, a different show would have played it like a love triangle. Mm-hmm. And that crap up. And this one's like, no, they played it like she's dealing with grief and like lashing out. This guy's stuck in this room. He can see the world. He can't touch the world. Like, the stuff, that stuff with him and like the punishing his son because the son was all lashing out and he's like, oh, you want to do it? Let me show you, like, you know, had the knife or whatever. And the son's like, go ahead and do it. Man, I was like, it caught me. I'm like, wow, this is not some old after school special stuff. This is kind of like, you know, this is how people act in these type of situations. And they did not gloss over it or make it pretty. Whereas like the Punisher, he wasn't a hero. He was a person that's doing things. People kind of point out, you know how messed up you are. And even he knew how messed up he was.
Yeah. All right. So one thing we both got correct was that this was not a fun show. It was pretty hard to get through. Like, not hard, but it took a while. And I wasn't feeling good while I watched it anyway, so I was able to just watch a few, like three or four at a time. But after a while, I was like, you know what, this is a depressing-ass show. Because there was very rare, if ever, anything that has any sort of like levity or humor to it. There might have been one part, but I don't even remember what it was. And it was just, it was dealing with PTSD. You've got the one soldier who comes back, digs a foxhole or trench in his backyard because he can't handle it. He ends up finding out that the guy who's been telling him like how bad America is didn't even serve in a war. And then he goes nuts and everyone's trying to reach him. And then you see all these other men and women just dealing with PTSD and all this. And I'm like, holy crap. And that's just 1/6 of what's going on in this. Like, Frank has his best friend, and the guy who was with his family. But, like, I was hoping he wasn't going to turn... Like, Billy Russo is who I'm talking about. I was hoping he wasn't going to be a bad guy. But as soon as he was, it was like, oh, boy. And then Billy Russo kills the FBI agent's partner, and then they're still banging out. I was like, you're a sack of shit, dude.
But then you realize his background's kind of like, you know, he was this because you see him as like, you see this handsome dude.
Yeah.
Tell that he's accomplished. But you look like, I'm an orphan. I never had a family. My mom didn't love me. I'm always looking for acceptance. I never found it. Like, I'm an empty shell. I knew he was a villain and saw his name because he's a villain in the comics. They just changed his background story. Like, that's Jigsaw.
Okay. All right. I thought that was, especially with the end where he's smashing his face into a mirror. That's what I figured. I was like, oh, he'll be Jigsaw. But, okay. All right. That makes sense.
But until then, it's like, you know, you necessarily don't know until you see that. Because, like, even him, he's probably the most nuanced villain they probably had. Because, like, he's a villain, but you know exactly why he's acting the way he's acting. Like, that scene when the guy's torturing Frank, and he, like, he's watching, you know, he helps Frank escape, and he's just watching him kill him, like, you know, I love watching you work. Like, you can see him feeling justified because the guy's talking like, you know, just remember you're a weapon, you're a piece of trash, I've elevated you and stuff. It's like, in a different world, he'd have been a hero. But it's kind of like, the circumstances kind of like, he was playing catch up from Jump Street, and a lot of times people don't catch up. Like, all of that stuff that was going on, the guy you brought up, the guy you brought up that was building like the fox on his backyard, he's been seeing Frank if Frank didn't get it together. Like, he took it all the way. And I think that kind of like even made Frank pause. It's like, you know, this could easily, like, he could see himself in me. And I like how he's like, you know, maybe go the same. So he's golden. Like, John Bernthal played the hell out of that role. Yeah. Like, he knew the quiet parts and he's like, go, like, you know, go, come on, kids, do it. Show, like, you know, show me what you got. Like, when he goes, people, and they're doing stuff, and, like, just, that whole rage there, where it's like, it's almost like he doesn't feel like a human, and he knows he doesn't feel like a human. Like, half the show is him remembering his wife, and whenever it's like he's tortured, he's just thinking about his wife. Like, he, you know, thinking about his family, what he lost and everything. And the violence was, we've talked about the violence of Daredevil as like season one, season two. We talked about the violence of Jessica Jones. Man, this is a whole different level of violence. Like, this was a violent, violent, violent ass show, to the part where, like you said, it was uncomfortable. I had to stop. I'm like, okay, I gotta take a break, because this is like, and it wasn't like it was numbing. That, and that was the issue. Each thing had impact. Like, the fight scenes, the choreography was awesome, but it's just like, it's hard. And it's funny, like, when you this compared to John Wick, because they're both R-rated movies. They're both hyper-violent. And, like, we all talk about how realistic John Wick looks, but, like, you still realize, like, it's, like, fantasy land. You know, no matter how real, like, you know, they're using real physics and stuff, but it's probably, you know, he got a bulletproof dress shirt on, and everybody in New York's an assassin. So, you know, it's kind of like, it's not, it's different. It's almost like The Matrix. It's funny where a show like The Punisher feels more grounded, you know, than the same New York where, you know, the Avengers happen. Like, it's still a Marvel show, but it never felt like a Marvel show. It felt like its own thing, its own regular show. So, it was sometimes I had, like, you know what, I gotta take a break, because this is a little too much, and it's like, whew. So, and we didn't even talk about the whole thing with the girl, like, Madani. And, yeah, it was funny where it was two different shows where she's doing all her stuff on the side, and can you imagine, like, you realize this dude that you're seeing is, you know, killed your, like, this dude you banging, killed your partner, still having sex with you, knowing all that. You find out, he knows that you know, and you can't do anything about it. He just rubbing it in your face, and everybody think you just a damn lunatic.
Well, there was like a psychological element to this show as well, and, well, before we get to that, yeah, the violence, to go back to that, they set the tone. Was it the first episode he beat those guys with a sledgehammer?
It was. I think they had the end of the first episode.
Okay. Yeah. And because you saw it coming, they built it like a Western, like, all right, he can only take so much and then does it. And then what really, like, we saw how violent it was going to be by the preview, where he takes a shotgun and shoots that guy in the face on the floor. But then that was only the tip. That wasn't even the tip of it. He takes, who was the CIA guy? Can't remember what his name is. Like, basically the head bad guy. He puts his thumbs through his eyes, and it's not like they cut away. They show him murder him right. I was like, holy shit. This is insanity for Marvel to pull this off. And it just shows that they don't, I would guess that they don't pay attention. Or just don't care. Because that's a whole, and this is going to sound dumb because it's still violence and murder, but they always say shooting someone is nowhere near as bad as, like, strangling someone or, you know, choking them out. And especially in this case, putting your fingers through his skull. And, like, that's a visceral image. And that was the end of what, the second to last episode, right? And then the rest of it was just follow-up. But
you see some guy, like, you see some guy turn another man's face.
Yeah.
It's that damn cheese grater.
And
then doesn't kill him. So, like, I want you to, you know, see what you see. Whatever. She's like, I'm not gonna take it easy on you. Like, you just basically crippled this guy mentally and physically, and you talk, you're not taking the easy way out. No shit, you ain't taking the easy way out. It's like, this is one thing. There's only one thing about the show that bothered me, and I told you about it, but I didn't tell you the part of it yet, got to it yet. The whole gun violence thing with the senator and that whole thing, and, like, with Karen Page, they played all, like, you know, he's like this cowardly, opportunistic guy. Like, they trying to make it like, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people, and Karen, like, I'm a good guy with a gun stuff. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking of, you know, One, it was just so out of left field. Like, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. Two, you can't. It's never a good time to release the Punisher. But I'm like, if you're an American watching this, that's a lad. Like, depending on your mindset, like, you ain't really trying to hear that. Like, it's just the way they played it. It's so obnoxious. Almost like they're saying, like, gun control is useless and a bad thing. And I know that's, like, part of the Punisher, but they did such a good job, like, having nuance with it where that just felt so just wrong in it. And that's the only thing. And I actively rolled my eyes during some of that dialogue. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm just laughing, like, I can't believe this. They're trying to sell me this shit. Like, what are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish? Like, we have these mass shootings on for like twice a month, and you really trying to go like, oh, you know, it's this whole gun thing. It's just he's just trying to get votes. He doesn't really believe it. He's just a damn coward. And what if somebody came at your family? And I'm like, and it's Karen Page of all people trying to be much tough. I'm tough. I'm a New Yorker. Like, we saw you season two of Daredevil just falling to pieces when you was hanging with Frank Castle. When you weren't falling to pieces, when you realized, oh, my boyfriend's a lunatic that runs around with a red pajama beating people up, and now you want to be, oh, I'm a tough girl with a gun? Like, get out of my face.
Sorry, something just popped up here. I don't know if you know about this or not. Well, oh, the internet's going slow. There it goes. Did you see the totally cut into this? Did you see what your boys did?
Oh, what's that?
Trading Jahlil Okafor?
Oh, yeah, I saw that earlier.
Wow. Yeah. All right. That just came across my phone. So, anyway, okay. Sorry. I figured if you did know, that would have been fun. So, anyways, yeah, that whole scene was weird. It was almost as if there was like some sort of mandate. It's like, hey, this is a show about guns and, a show with a lot of gun violence in it. So let's address it somehow. It's like, what are we doing? None of it was necessary. It's like, I understood the point of making this senator, because it's what all politicians do. If something bad happens, hey, let's have a fundraiser and make my profile higher. And then Karen, which you correctly pointed out, she killed Wesley in season one of Daredevil, and she was a damn mess about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben Ulrich gets killed, and she's a mess about that. So it's like, what did we miss in between? And when did this take place? Was Punisher before Defenders?
Well, they don't really.
Yeah.
I mean, the time frame is different because kind of like, you know, like 6 months passed between after Daredevil's, whatever happened with like Daredevil season two, because it's kind of like, you know, oh, and that's the thing. I'm glad I thought about the time frame. And that was the other thing I thought about, and it's kind of like white privilege. A man that killed 37 people running around New York City. He should have been caught a long time ago. I don't give a damn. Refake, whatever. Like, you ain't killing no 30-something people in no damn New York, and it's just like, oh, I'm working on a construction site.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty weird.
You don't know what Frank Castle looks like? Like, he had this high-profile trial. They know what you look like. You can say, oh, yeah, he faked his death. I'm like, if Tupac was walking around, he walked down the street, I'd be like, hey, wait a second. Like, I know what Tupac looks like.
Well, you know, but here's the thing. All Tupac has to do is grow a beard. And then no one knows who he is.
Yeah, that's not how it works. You know, like, if you grow like a Jim Carrey beard or like a Jeff Bridges beard, like Jeff Bridges with his beard and Jeff Bridges without his beard, yeah, that looks different. He didn't have a beard that big where it's like, oh, I thought that was Lemmy and no, it's the Punisher. Like, yeah. And that part kind of like, he's working, and he just, you know, people, okay, I got this guy that doesn't talk. He just want to work. He just knocking down these walls all day, all night, and everything. You're not wondering, like, isn't that a little weird? Mm-hmm. Like, this guy that people complain about messing my overtime just working, and it's like, you know, you take a look, and it's like, he don't look slightly familiar. Like, it's not like it's the, you know, Daredevil has a mask. Like, everybody knows what Luke Cage looked like when he walked around his neighborhood. And he ain't necessarily like that famous, like, okay, he's just black dude from Harlem that's bulletproof. He did some jail time. But he wasn't like in the news like that. Like, you know, He's like Frank Castle's a serial killer on this show, more or less. Yeah, he killed people that people didn't like. You ain't killing those 30-something people and then just walking around like shit's cool. Like, I mean, I don't know how that works, but it's kind of like it worked on that show, and it's like, that's fine. That's I laughed when I thought about that, but it was kind of like that kind of like just it tickled a funny bone. And I like how it ended because you just think it was like low key. He was there. He knows he's damaged. He's trying to fix himself. Not like, you know, I'm leaving town. I'm going to go somewhere to hunt some other stuff. Like, and on a semi-hopeful note, you know, ain't going to be too hopeful because it's like, yeah, no one wants to see Frank put a gun. And, you know, Jigsaw ain't dead. Like, eventually he's going to wake up when they do season two. And I wonder if they'll make a concerted effort of keeping the Punisher separate from the other shows. I know they had Karen Page there, but it almost felt like shoehorn. Like, you know, we just had her there, so you realize, like, this is a Marvel show. She didn't really need to be there, and it didn't really be a part of the other stuff. So I wonder if, like, when they do season two, if they keep it separate, like, if one, how separate they keep from the rest of stuff, and two, will you see the Punisher again between now and season two?
Is there going to be a season two?
It's going to be a season two. Like the way they
honestly ended the show, like, kind of tidy outside of, you know, Frank, but, like, you know, Micro gets the family back and all that. I know, you know, Billy Russo or Jigsaw can wake up whenever he wants and he can do that, but they put a nice bow on everything. So, like, and on, all right, and I think you'll understand what I'm getting at. He's obviously a serial killer, okay? But he was going after something with a purpose. And then now that purpose is over. So if he goes back out and just starts killing muggers and stuff, it's like, yeah, this doesn't work.
Well, you're already talking about how you can start season two. Like, yeah. He doesn't have a purpose. Why would he come? You give him a purpose. Jigsaw wakes up starting murdering people. Like, you put two and two together and, like, okay, I guess I got to put my t-shirt back on. Like, you can get a reason. Like, you know, if it start with Jigsaw waking up and popping Madani or Michael and his family, it's like, okay, I got a reason to start killing again.
That would be a shame to kill her off, though. That was she was a good character. So, I mean, you really can't off Micro either, but I know what you mean. Yeah, so I think we just kind of we glossed over her, but that was just a good character. I mean, her partner, all right, whatever. But
real Arab, like, flawed, determined, and it was kind of like an Arab character that wasn't a terrorist. Her parents weren't terrorists. It's like, you know, she was just a regular human being. She could have been any race, and it would have fit. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that too much with, like, Arab characters. Like, it would have been, like, a whole conflict and stuff. Like, you know, her faith was there, but they ain't beat you over the head with it. It's like, you know, she's more like, she's like this messy white guy that was just good at her job more than anything. Like, you know, I like boning random people. I like drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I make my own rules. I do my own thing. I piss people off, but I get the job done. I'm Martin Riggs without the loss of my wife, basically. Even though she lost, you know, she lost a partner. Like, she was motivated by personal tragedy too. Like, everybody had some type of tragedy. And it's kind of like, had him like that. Like, we didn't talk about the black, I can't think of his name. You know, like, that joke said, like, you know, he took my, like, he beat my own foot. Like, if I had my leg, I would have whooped his ass. Like, yeah, like he handled his PTSD, like, the best way. Like, you know, I got, you know, proper way of healing. It is what it is. Like, I try to find, like, a reasonable thing. And it's funny how they're all linked. He tries to get the suicide guy job. He realized, like, you know, this guy's kind of living sketchy. So he tells Billy Russo, like, you know, I can't hire you because you're doing this and that. And it just pushes him over the edge. It's like everybody's kind of, like, linked tangentially through pain and how they handle pain. And some people handle it better than others. Like, yeah. The people you handle it well, like, you think Billy Russo has everything undercover. And then you realize he's insane. He's like Patrick Bateman. He just hides a lot better. And so he doesn't. And then it's seeing, he looks at Frank and it's like, part of him pities Frank, part of him, like, jealous. Like, how do you have the strength to keep on doing what you're doing? You should. How do you have your life? Like, I look like this, and like it's almost like it's not fair. And he's looking at that the whole time. So, but like I definitely love the show, and I like how I like the story it told because it didn't tell like a regular like bang bang. It didn't tell you a story you thought you get from the Punisher. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think one thing I kind of glossed over with the violence, they actually showed the effects of it. Both psychologically, mentally, but then also physically, because even you know, and it was still cartoonish to a certain extent because Frank was getting his head handed to him, and he was able to recover fairly quick. All right, but when they showed, what was her name again? Madani, right?
Yeah.
When she got beat up, I mean, they showed her, I mean, bruises, like the regular people who had to deal with this violence. They suffered for it. And, I mean, Frank got pretty much beat up. He was down for a while. And they had to call in, you know, I think his name was Troy, right? The guy with the one leg?
Yeah. Get the bullet out.
Yeah, and like, all that, like, they're showing the effects of what this violence does instead of just going, oh, yeah, violence is bad. So this show was way more than I thought it would be. And I think that's what made it enjoyable. So, if you haven't seen it, gang, it's good. I recommend seeing it. But it's not going to be a fun watch, that's for sure. It'll take you a while. real quick, since we're on the Marvel stuff, this will be the last thing because we don't really have anything to say. Iron Fist 2, yes, there's going to be a season 2. Alice Eve is joining the cast. So yeah, so there's that. And he's going to... Him and Jessica are going to be the protectors of Chinatown. So everyone's got their borough, I guess. Is that how it works?
For Chinatown, he's a white guy protecting them.
Well, what happened to him going home and it wasn't there?
It ain't there. Huh. That's what happened. You got to find out where he went. Like, he got distracted with this whole stuff with Sigourney Weaver. And then keep in mind, he's going to be in season 2 of Iron Fist. I mean, Luke Cage. So it's like...
Well, they're really... I mean, that almost seems like overcompensating, but...
If, at least, one, I would say the whole thing is, like, they did have good chemistry together.
Yeah.
They realized the flaws that season 1 of Iron Fist did. Like, he's had time, like, get in shape and, like, actually train to fight. Like, at least, like, he's like, yeah, I know. Like, it's different where it's like, kind of fight's more a problem. Like, everybody knows, like, yeah, I know, and I got time. I can eat my spinach and everything like that. They got a different showrunner. So, like, problems, they acknowledge the problems they had, and they're doing their best to try to fix it. And I give them credit for doing that because they could have had their head and say, like, it ain't problem, you're the problem. It's just you snowflakes and yada, 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 and you social justice words. Like, no, we got a white guy that can't fight. We know how it looks. So let's just fix this. And it's kind of like, yeah, so let's fix. Give him kudos to fixing it because he was, I give him credit, he was way more tolerable in the Defenders than he was in the show, like his show. And if he has more time to actually like fight, which is important because you're supposed to be the Iron Fist, yeah, is that definitely helps. I did laugh because people talking about, oh, you know, how you gonna have Infinity Wars and you don't have it. I'm like, you really want it. You see Thanos coming here and then Danny Rand talking about, I killed the dragon.
Yeah,
I punched the dragon and I'm from Kumbo. I'm like, Thanos is gonna pluck his head off. Like, he is not sweating people in bootcut jeans.
Well, the other, like, thing is, have you seen that picture of James McAvoy?
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to tell me that this Finn Jones can't do the same damn thing? Make it look like you're powerful? Instead of just some skinny kid with a bad perm?
I still believe it's kind of like he found out he got the job and they start filming like the next week.
Yeah, that's true too.
He still has the Game of Thrones, I'm emaciated body. Like, keep in mind, like, when he was on Game of Thrones, he was like, I was prisoner, so I look small and thin. Like, it's the same thing. Like, Hugh Jackman talked all the time, like, I didn't really have time to train when I was cast X-Men as Wolverine. Like, you see him in the first X-Men, and then you see him by the time he gets to, like, the wolf, like, who's this? Like, they do not look the same. Like, even, he's like, he has a Hulk Hogan tan. Like, he is basically like my complexion by the time the second Wolverine movie comes out. And he looks like a damn comic. Like, he has veins all over. You see, the first one's like, oh, he looks like a comic race from Lethal Weapon, which was a nice build in like 1985, but then ain't like in like late 90s, 2000, he looked like he didn't hit the gym. It was like, I didn't really have time to train. I was like last minute because I thought someone else was getting a role. And you can like, I still think that's what happened. Like, they just rushed this show because, like, we need to have this show come out at this time frame, to hell with it. And everything that we've seen and heard about it reinforces that they rushed that. Like, he didn't even have time to cross like a moth. You can tell he's looking at him.
Yeah, well. All right, gang. So, we had a little Iron Fist just for the hell of it. Let's get out of here. If you're actually listening to the show, you know what we're going to talk about next week. So hopefully you got your tickets, because next week's going to be a giant spoiler. So I'm not going to bother telling what it is. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Stunk Grannon on all social media. Stunk Grannon.